Welcome to a special episode of the Paris Review podcast, honoring N. Scott Mamadé, the winner of the Review's 2021 Haddada Award. The Haddada is given each year by the Paris Review Board of Directors to, and I'm quoting here, a distinguished member of the writing community who has made a strong and unique contribution to literature. Previous winners include Joan Didion, Philip Roth, and Joy Williams. Mamadé, born Navarro Scott Mamadé in February of 1934, is a member of the Kiowa tribe. He achieved national recognition when his debut novel, House Made of Dawn, won the 1969 Pulitzer Prize. The book's publication was a watershed moment for Native American literature, and it blew open the door for a new generation of writers. In the years since, he's written fiction, poetry, plays, folklore, children's books, essays, and most recently, Earthkeeper, Reflections on the American Land, a series of meditations on humanity's relationship with the natural world. He's also an accomplished visual artist and an ardent climate activist. He has been honored with a National Medal of Arts and an Academy of American Poets Prize, and became a founding trustee of the National Museum of the American Indian, part of the Smithsonian. Mamadé's relationship with the Paris Review began more than three decades ago, when several of his poems appeared in the spring 1986 issue. And just this past year, an excerpt from Earthkeeper was published on the Daily. Mamadé's Writers at Work interview, conducted by the poet Layli Long Soldier, is in progress. Layli Long Soldier is the author of the National Book Critics Circle Award-winning poetry collection Whereas, which was also a finalist for the National Book Award. She is a citizen of the Oglala Lakota Nation and lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The Paris Review's Writers at Work interviews are conducted over the course of months or even years through a mixture of in-person conversation, phone calls, virtual meetings, and correspondence between interviewer, interviewee, and editors. What you're about to hear is an exclusive excerpt of the first step in that process. A bit of the very first call between Mamadé and Long Soldier.
This call is being recorded.
Hi, Dr. Mamadé. This is Layli calling.
Hi, Layli. How are you?
They discuss the importance of oral tradition to literature, especially to the Native American tradition. Here's Layli Long Soldier telling Mamadé a story about her grandmother.
Like, you could literally just tell her a story about buying gas, you know, that morning, like going to the store, whatever. But it was like just spending that time with each other. That connection was a way of, I don't want to say just survival, but it was a way of getting through almost anything, you know?
I do know what you're saying, and I agree, yes. Yeah, we don't, in our age, appreciate the oral tradition as we should. It's a very rich tradition of language. And we all have an oral tradition, but we're not especially aware of it. And in the Indian world, where most Indian languages, if not all, are unwritten, you see the importance of it immediately. And it is superior to writing in certain ways. I when I was teaching the oral tradition, as I did for many years, I would always compare the oral and written traditions at the beginning, and I'm sure I shocked some of my students by telling them that the oral tradition was in some way superior to writing, as it is.
I'm so curious to hear maybe in what ways you see it as superior. Like, are there particular ways?
Oh, yes. It is superior to writing in the sense that it is spontaneous. It's immediate. Writing is a newcomer on the stage. It's about 6,000 years old, as far as we know. And the oral tradition is inestimably older. It's as old as language itself. There are three things that distinguish the oral tradition. One must speak with great responsibility. One must speak carefully. The listener must listen very carefully, and he must remember what he hears. Those things are very important, and they distinguish the oral tradition. In writing, you can write something down, you know, and put it away in a drawer, and you can be sure it's there when you come back for it. The oral tradition is much more tenuous, much more fragile. So that if you don't remember what you hear, it's lost. Everything in the oral tradition is just one generation from extinction. So the closest thing we have, I think, to oral tradition is the play, is drama, because you have living people on the stage talking to each other. And they, of course, they make eye contact with each other and with the audience. And there is body language, and so it is, in a sense, more dramatic and more immediate than writing.
Right.
Now, I'm a writer, so I can say these terrible things about writing, but we all know the value of writing is indispensable.
Yeah.
But we don't all know the value of oral tradition, and we should.
Yeah, right. I'm listening to you and nodding my head, you know, because I think about even certain stories that some of my family, my relatives have shared with me. And I feel like, to be quite honest, I'm a little bit lazy. I grew up relying on texts, right, to read stories, and they're always there. And so there have been things that I've, you know, people have shared with me, family members, my dad, and so on. And I'll forget them, or I'll forget certain parts. So I have to go back and call somebody up, or just when I see them, ask them if they could tell me the story again, you know, and it's a little bit embarrassing. And in that process, I also realized that part of that process is not just, you know, listening and remembering, but also repeating and sharing, because when I then share some of those stories with my daughter, for example, and I repeat it often enough, then I remember it, you know, because if we don't use it, we lose it, as they say, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, the amount of oral tradition that has been lost is inestimable, of course, but thank goodness much of it survives. And it seems remarkably to be passed on in a way that we don't always understand, you know. There are gaps. You would think that a story is told and someone dies and takes it with them, and we don't have it. And then it shows up in another generation. It's a miracle. And something you don't understand, it does happen. And that is also evidence of the strength of oral tradition. It's much stronger than we suppose.
This concludes our bonus episode of the Paris Review podcast. You heard an excerpt from the In Progress Writers at Work interview with N. Scott Momaday, conducted by Lely Longsoldier. Thank you to former Paris Review editor Emily Nemens for coordinating this interview, to interns Mira Bronick and Christopher Notar-Nicola for transcribing it, and to the rest of the review staff for making everything we do possible. Thank you as well to Stitcher, our production partner for the Paris Review podcast. This episode was produced by me, Craig Morgan Teicher, and Helena de Groot, with help from Paris Review Events Director Julia Barrick. Original music was composed and performed by David Sieri, Emily Wells, Mike Brown, Sam Ospavat, Rob Schwimmer, Shahzad Ismaili, and Casey Halford. Our theme song was composed by David Sieri. We're at work on Season 3 of the podcast and look forward to taking you on more literary odysseys soon. Don't forget to visit theparisreview.org, where you can subscribe to the print quarterly and our email newsletters. If you like this episode, we hope you'll subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and stay safe.